I just heard that FX has a new original comedy coming out called Adults, which after watching the trailer feels all too familiar. Adults is a comedy that would feel relatable if you ever find humor in the struggles of being an adult in 2025. You know, like remembering your full social security number or to drink water, or perhaps having your third existential crisis of the month. Best part is that all episodes will be ready for your next weekend binge. Watch FX's Adults Wednesdays on FX, all episodes now streaming on Hulu.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Okay, friends, we're back with another episode.
Woo-hoo!
Three in a row. Let's go. That rhymed. Okay, so my name is Jason.
My name is Drew.
And today we're doing a mental health check.
Mental health check.
This has been another very highly requested topic as well, which totally makes sense to me because mental health is something that a lot of people are talking about. In society in general, which is awesome because it's super important and should have been the entire time, but here we go, right?
Absolutely. I think that a lot of times people are, it's like a generational thing to not check in on your mental health because obviously like older generations, weren't as like aware and cognizant of it. I think it's a good thing that younger generations are like really prioritizing mental health because it is very important.
Yeah. 1000%. So, okay. So I guess if we were to start off with like where we're at, like, or where we started with our own, mental health personally, I think I've always had anxiety, and growing up too, we've looked back and been like, oh yeah, like she definitely did. Cause yeah. I grew up like super painfully shy, and the thought of people having to look at me would make me sick to my stomach. And, whereas Drew like doesn't care what anyone thinks about her, is very, it's very easy for her to go into spaces where she doesn't know anyone, or you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
stuff like that. Whereas like,
yeah, I think yours was a very aggressive social anxiety more than anything. And then also just regular too. But I think social anxiety is like what exacerbated it a lot.
Yeah.
Having to like be around unknown people.
Yeah. And then I think too, like, because we grew up so close in age, like Drew always made me like go do things I didn't want to do. Like, let's go hang out with friends at recess instead of like, sit here and do nothing.
Yeah.
Because I was so uncomfortable around people, that I can't even imagine like what kind of kid I would have ended up being had I not had Drew there being like, get up and come over here, you know, and play with us or whatever.
Yeah. Especially when we got a little bit older, like into high school and stuff. Cause Dayson, like both of us are very okay with being alone too. Like we have no problem like spending time by ourselves or with each other. But a lot of times I always like describe it like as like, there has to be a balance, right? It can't always just be you by yourself. Like you should try to like mingle in some fashion. So I would always be like, come on, dude, come on. We're going to go. We got invited. We're going to go. We're going to have a good time. And then she would always come reluctantly, but she would always have a good time. So that's all that matters.
Yeah. I think it definitely got worse as I got older through high school. And I definitely credit our British queen, Zoella. She was the first person I'd ever seen like openly talk about having anxiety and panic attacks
and like describing what it was like,
what it feels like. Yeah. Cause I just thought I was like, oh, I'm just shy and I'm like a weird kid. Like that's just what that means, you know? And so, I remember she put out like a 30-minute video of like her first panic attack or what it meant. She's also emetophobic like me. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like that. I thought it was just me that felt like that.
Yeah.
And so I remember watching her thing and thinking, and I remember telling you, like, do you think I have this? And you're like, I've always known you've had anxiety. I'm like, what? You told me.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, I very clearly remember that video because I remember you sending it to me. I think that came out when you were in college and I was still in high school.
No, I watched it right before I moved.
Oh, okay, right before college. Okay, so it was around the same timeline, but, like, you were like, I watched this and I feel like I know exactly what she's talking about. And I was like, yeah, I do too, dude. that sounds pretty on brand. Yeah. I think hers manifested a lot sooner, like where she was like aware of it. And I think yours was like a little bit later, which as long as you are aware at some point, that's all that matters. You know what I mean?
I think what was so nice about realizing I had anxiety was that there was nothing wrong with me. Like, that's just how my brain operates. So while there isn't anything wrong with me, that's not a healthy way to continue living my life. So I need to, you know, learn of new things I have to do to get through it.
And it's like one of those things where it's never your fault if you have it, and there's nothing wrong with you if you have it, but you also shouldn't give it the power to control you, which is where like your methods of coping with it come into play. And I very clearly remember for like me, because mind you, like my sister and I are two sides of the same coin, but we're very different too in a lot of ways. So Jason's anxiety and social anxiety was much different from mine. So for a very long time, I didn't think I had anxiety like at all. I was like, yeah, that's not me. Cause like, I'm not afraid to talk to strangers and all that kind of stuff, which I also think is a hindrance on like external, like, what do you call it? What do you call it when you're an introvert, an extrovert, right?
Yeah. So
extroverted people who are also anxious, I feel like it's a lot harder to like come to terms with it because you're like, well, I don't have a problem going to a party by myself, or I don't have a problem eating in a restaurant by myself. Like, that doesn't bother me.
But like, I can never do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it manifests in much different ways for me, like anxiety. So I remember watching, which is kind of ironic because I think she's an introvert, but like I watched Ariana Grande talk about her anxiety on the Tonight Show, like probably when like 2015, 2016, something like that. I remember watching her and her talk about it, and I was all, that's how I feel sometimes, like the way she was describing it. And I
think it was 18 because that was when Sweetener was gonna come out, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right, because then I was like, what, like the way she was describing how she feels sometimes, I was like, oh my God. Like, I was literally thinking like, and then I thought, is something wrong with me? Right. Because I feel like I'm fine, but then I also feel like I'm not fine at the same time sometimes. Right. So I don't know. I guess they just manifest in different ways. I guess it's just per the person. There's no right or wrong.
Yeah. Way. And I think that that's the nice part about it becoming a well spoken about topic.
Yeah.
By people, I don't personally know Zoella or Ariana Grande, but to see people you look up to or you love talk about having the exact same feelings, you're like, that sounds
Kind of
like me. Like, it normalizes it completely.
Yeah. Like the way she was talking about it was so palatable to a way, like, to an extent where I was like, that's exactly how I felt sometimes. And then I was like, what? Like, I was so like, I felt like I was unlocking a new level in my brain. I was like, I truly never thought that. And then I thought to myself after that moment, like, when I would look back, I would think about times that I was like extremely anxious and the really unhealthy ways I would cope with it.
Yeah.
So like, I think a lot of times too, like my anxiety for me personally is driven by this incessant need to be perfect all the time and overachieve.
Sure.
So like when I feel like I'm failing in some way, or when I feel like I'm falling behind, when I feel like I'm being left behind, like my anxiety like kicks in like really bad.
Yeah. Mine is everyone hates me. Like my grandpa said something about like,
I mean, it's not funny, but like,
no, but like, that's,
I know, like, I'm just so aware that that's yours.
My grandpa said some, like a meme or something on her Instagram. I can't remember. It was something about like, I just logged off with my therapist and I told her, how come every time I log off, I'm always like, oh my God, I hope she's not mad at me. Like, that's like, why I can't stand when people are mad at me, or if they're upset with me, or if people don't. I just always assume the meanest things are being said about me when I walk into a room, like, and like people are judging me, and no one's ever done that to me. That's just a story I've created in my head since I was little.
Yeah.
Like, 28 years later, I'm just now realizing is super unhealthy and I need to undo and really like unravel and take a look at it.
Yeah, because it holds you back from doing other
from
things.
From so many different experiences and things like that. And so, so like I had anxiety, like I could see throughout high school, but I think because my mom kept us so busy, we were in like every sport, we did clubs, like we did club sports, like there was no time to have to think. And that's kind of how I grew up with my anxiety. Like I would like, every time I'd play a volleyball game, my mom would coach me and had me jump rope until I couldn't breathe because I would get so nervous in my games that I would like be facing the opposite direction or like all of a sudden I don't know how to do anything because I'm so like frozen in fear of what were people thinking.
It was like truly like Dayson's anxiety of performing in front of strangers in any capacity was like almost crippling to her. So we like as a family, because we just didn't know like what it was at the time.
Yeah, they were like, what are you like? I was like,
just chalked just it up to being nervous.
I just get so nervous.
And so like we would implement these exercises for Dayson to do. So to almost like a animal, like, you know, when you put them on the treadmill to get them really tired, or like a baby, or like put them run around so they tire themselves out. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like what we had to do with Dayson, and it worked for like a time. And then, you know, and then you get older and then you realize that it's affecting other areas of your life, not just like sports. So it wasn't something that we had
and
anymore.
I didn't realize it was as bad as it was, or I guess it just progressively got a little bit worse when I had to live on my own when I went to college, because now my mom is, I'm really close with our, obviously our mom, and with you, and it's just me. And so that's when I started to develop like depression and things like that. And so I didn't really realize it was so bad until I was getting ready to graduate college. And I would, you know, drink, because I'm 21, so I would drink by myself in my room, and I wouldn't talk to people, and I would cry every day, and I couldn't go to class because I was so upset, like, because I was so stressed about my future, and I'm like, what am I doing after college? And it was just creating so much anxiety. And then I like didn't like myself, so then I'm thinking everyone else probably thinks I'm annoying, like at school or at work. And
yeah, it's just like this endless cycle. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's literally just like this cycle that feeds into itself. So you're like, don't do things because you're anxious, and then you get mad at yourself because you didn't do those things because you were anxious, and then you're like, why am I feeling so anxious? And now I'm a loser because I didn't do those things. And like,
it's everyone just like probably thinks the same thing.
Everyone's probably thinking the same thing about me. Now I can't go back because they're gonna know that I missed the last time. It's just like this never-ending cycle. And it's funny too, because like to Billy, we always make this joke, like me and Dace, but like I'm sure y'all have seen the movie Inside Out, right? So you know how like Riley has all her emotions and
just
her head?
one of each
we always talk about which ones we would have. Right, so like mine, how many are there, five, right?
I think there's five
senses. So like for the five, I would have probably one sad, like two fear, one angry, one happy.
I think mine would be three fear. Is that the purple one?
Right? Yeah.
Three fear and then two sad.
No.
Well, right now I would want to change it to have like four joy and two sad. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Or whatever. But no, definitely I would say like before who I am today, I would definitely say I have a lot more fear than and
me sad too.
Than anything.
Me too. Yeah. Well, and then like for mine too, like I said, I didn't even really come to terms with it probably till I was like about to graduate from college, honestly. Like when I was in my early 20s is probably when I really started thinking about it, like, or understanding it, because it would, you know, like I almost thought it was normal to like be so overworked and so exhausted and so stressed that I would sleep for like 3 days straight, and I thought that that was normal. So like, and I remembered too when I started working at the NFL, right? And that job was just absolutely rotting me from the inside out, not just the drive, but also just the whole toxic environment in general. I would literally like, I would tell my family like, hey, like I'll see you guys on Friday, Saturdays. Cause I worked like 5 days a week. So I would work Monday to Thursday all day, Friday, sleep. I would sleep all day. I would literally sleep till like 2 PM. I'd wake up, I drink a little bit of water, go back to sleep. And then I'll wake up and it was like 8 PM.
Yeah.
And Billy would come home and he would say, did you eat today? And I'd be like, no. And then my mom would be like, oh, I think she's tired from the drive. And then my sister would be like, no, dude, she's depressed.
Sad.
And yeah, she's sad. That's what she would tell my mom. And my mom was like, you think? Because they never saw me, because obviously I don't live at the house with my parents. Mm-hmm. So then my sister started calling me all the time to like ask me how I was feeling and stuff. And I was like, I mean, I'm good. I think I'm good. That was not good.
Yeah.
Good at all. And I think I was just, I think sometimes my brain's about distractions. So like when it starts feeling like that, I try to distract myself mm-hmm. with other things, which is an unhealthy way of coping with it.
Mm-hmm.
But,
cause it's one thing to know you're sad or anxious, but it's another to like continue, it's almost like continuing a cycle of abuse against yourself. Like you're like, no, I can keep living like this. And it's completely unhealthy.
God, yeah.
And mm-hmm. you just keep doing it because even though I after I finished school, like my mom was like, you have to come home. Like, cause I would call her, especially leading up to the end, I would call her. Then I'm telling her, like, I literally am just like, I've never been this sad before. I have to come home. Like,
yeah.
So she was like, yeah, come home. And so I moved home and being around my little brother and my parents, and even you were about to graduate. So I was like, so excited for Drew to move back. So
yeah,
I was like, okay, I just got to wait another year. Drew's going to come back. And so I think it started to get worse because my coping was food. I would binge eat mm-hmm. and drink and stuff like that. Yeah. And just not in a way that was healthy to my brain or my body.
Yeah.
And then,
and it's that cycle again, right? Where you like would eat and then you'd feel guilty mm-hmm. and then you'd be eating to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until 2019 when we had decided to quit our jobs and work full time in our family's business. Cause I couldn't take it anymore. I remember Drew was like, just wait, like we can quit at the same time. And I just put in my 2 weeks cause we worked together.
Yeah. She, I'm not even joking. Like I still remember the conversation to this day. They used to tell me she was quitting the job that we both had because we worked at the same place.
Yeah.
And we loved the people we worked with.
Yeah.
And we made really good money, but it was just like, it was like so harmful mentally and very stressful. So
and just like it was unfulfilling because I was like, we both went to school for certain things. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, I'm just stuck. And
I still remember like I was telling her, I was like, dude, like, just wait it out. Like, just wait. Like, I'll quit with you in like a few months. And then she was like, dude, I'm not going to make it. That's all she told me.
So I didn't even tell her. I just put in my 2 weeks.
Yeah. Then I started laughing and she was like, I'm being serious, dude. I'm not going to make it.
I'm literally
I have to leave. I have to leave. And I was like, okay. And then, you know, once I understood, because she explained it to me in a much more detailed way how she was feeling, I was like, oh my god, dude, like I don't want you to feel like that, like that's terrible. And then the absolute irony of that happening, and then I started working at the NFL and that's what happened to me too.
Yeah, same thing. I was like, when we worked at a job, I had Fridays off, and I think Drew had Thursday Fridays off, so she always had like one more day than
Friday Saturdays.
Okay. Oh no, I mean when we both worked together. Anyways.
Oh yeah. We always had Fridays off.
Yeah. So but she would be like, woohoo, I'm going to the beach. And then I would be sleeping all day because I was so depressed and I was sad and I felt unfulfilled. And I like was just like, it was like I felt embarrassed about how I felt. So then I quit. Then Drew quit. Then Drew gets the NFL. And then she's acting the same way I was telling my mom. That's what I did.
Yeah.
I would sleep until 3 and then eat an entire pizza by myself, which is, you know, you good to do when you're not in a bad mood, you know.
Yeah.
Like, so I was like,
not when it's like a way of coping with how sad,
like,
you feel.
Maybe you're like, I want to eat a whole pizza. But I would literally do it just because I was so upset and sad and unhappy and anxious. And it was awful. And so
And I literally like went down this like really terrible spiral when I was working at the NFL, like, because that job was just affecting me so terribly mentally, and it was really weighing on my confidence as like a worker, as like a journalist, as like someone, you know, women in sports. Like, it was just affecting everything I believed were the core things of my personality.
Yeah.
So it was like weighing even heavier on me, because I was like, maybe I was never meant to do this. Like, maybe I am not talented enough to be in this profession. Like, maybe they're right. Like, that's why I say all the time, like, that's the worst thing that job did to me, was make me doubt myself and my capability and my just overall competence. Like, it literally made me think that I was the most incompetent and incapable person ever. And that was the worst. And I, as we all know, I don't feel like that about myself. I've never felt that way about myself. So having to experience that firsthand and then suffer through it for like 10 fucking months was just awful. Like, truly. And then Dayson, like, she smelled it from like a mile away.
So I think for me, like once we quit our jobs and I was able to focus on just myself, and our family business is so like easily adaptable to schedules and stuff like that, that I wasn't like locked to a desk or anything. Yeah. I was able to take like a good year to really look at who I am and what do I want to do and stuff yeah. like that. And then really take care of my anxiety and see like, for me, like I don't, the most, if I could give anyone tips is like, because if you have anxiety, is to look for different signs that you're having anxiety. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because when you yeah. live for so long with your anxiety, you're like, oh, it's just another day. Accustomed to it.
Yeah, well, and that's like, why I thought.
Kind of building up and leading to it. Or oh I'm my like,
God, yeah.
For me, I'm like, oh, if I'm in my room too much, I'm like, that's weird. I don't usually do that when I'm happy, you know?
Well, yeah, that. And also like, that's how you helped me diagnose that in myself.
Yeah.
Because I would tell you, like, I honestly don't think there's anything wrong with me. And then I would describe things that I would do or things that I would, ways I would deal with issues and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you were like, yeah, dude, that's not normal.
That's not good.
Well, yeah. And another great example of it is like when I started dating Billy, who has been like so wonderful in helping me like when I have bad mental health days. But like when I would describe to him like how I would cope with things or how I would deal with things or how I would feel about stuff, he would like watch me describe it and then he'd be like, yeah, there's no way, because he's like the most simple person. Like
yeah,
I honest to God wish, but like he doesn't keep anything in his head that does not serve him ever. Like yeah. if it doesn't mean anything,
man, if only
I fucking wish, dude,
I would be the richest person alive if I could.
Dude, I wish all the time that I could. I literally describe it as like, you know, when you like take off your Apple Watch and you plug it in, that's like his brain. He takes it off, plugs it in, it wipes the brain of anything that happened that day, and then mm-hmm. he wakes up fresh. Like he's like ding, and he wakes up fresh plate. Nothing bad happened, nothing bad's mm-hmm. happening, just existing. And I was yeah. like, dude, I fucking wish, man. Me I too. Wish I was like, I yeah. wish it could be that way so bad. I was right? like, I envy you so terribly.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, well, see, that's why we're a good balancing act, because like you care about, I always say you care about, I care about everything, and he doesn't mm-hmm. care about anything. Like yeah. that's like, not like anything, but just like nothing stresses him out.
Yeah.
And everything stresses me out.
Mm-hmm.
So we like are a good balance for each other in that sense, because he can talk me off the ledge when yeah. I'm like, when I spin out about like my tire being low on my car.
Yeah, or you lost your favorite eyelash brush or something.
Oh my God, yeah. dude. Yeah, stuff like that sends me into a spiral. But anyways, I just remember telling Dayson, like describing to her, like, what does this sound like to you? Like I would describe to her how I deal with stuff or how I feel. And then she was like, that sounds like anxiety to me. Yeah. And I'm all, do you think? Like, because I've just been that way my whole life, like you said. So I just,
yeah, and you just normal. Don't think about it as that, because it wasn't talked about when we were growing up. And yeah. now that it is, you're like, huh, yeah, I got one of those things.
Yeah, yeah. Like I literally, when I watched that Ariana Grande thing, she had described having a panic attack. Right. Mm. And so like my idea of what panic attacks were before I had understood where I am with my mental health and stuff was like something like catastrophic, like something like, you know what I mean? So horribly awful, like, mm-hmm. you know, like almost you need to go to the hospital. Like that's how I saw it in my head prior to like my understanding of it. And then I realized that not everybody's panic attacks look the same and they mm-hmm. don't manifest the same way. So yeah. like the way she described her first like anxiety / panic attack, I was all, because I like just had one and I didn't know what it was. So I thought maybe I was going to pass out or something. And I still remember where I was too. I was like, we were in a restaurant and I had never been to the restaurant before. And for everyone who knows, like I'm a planner, right? So like if I go to an unknown place, I just pick what I feel like is what I've had before, just in case it tastes bad. You know what I mean? I don't like to venture out.
Mm-hmm.
So I like was trying to pick.
So a chicken sandwich.
I was trying to look for something familiar to me, but yeah. I couldn't read the menu because I have shit eyesight. So I couldn't read the menu. Then Billy left because he had to go to the bathroom. So I was standing there by myself trying to read this menu and they were going, hello, like, do you want to come? Hello, next, next, next. And then I was like, I literally had like a nervous breakdown just standing there. So then I was like, I have to go to the bathroom. So I ran to the bathroom and I just sat in the stall and cried for like 20 minutes, just mm-hmm. sitting in there crying. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like, I was literally thinking like, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? And then I remember I called my sister when I got home and I described it to her. And she was like, that sounds like a panic attack, dude. I think you just got anxious. And I was all, what? Like, I was like, well, I don't
it doesn't have to be like that. Just in that moment. It's it, like mine like build up over time where I'm like crying on something that happened to me 3 weeks ago that I was like, that didn't bother me. And then 3 weeks later I'm crying about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's why I was like, no. I was telling her, I was like, no, dude, no, because that's never happened to me before. And you're all, that's just never, that specific thing has never happened to you before. That doesn't mean that it hasn't happened to you. And I was like, huh? Like I was so like, bro, what? I was just so enthralled by it. And then I feel like I remember that so clearly because I think it was important that I recognized what was going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I can see it better.
See it ahead of time so it doesn't have to build up to a panic attack and stuff like that. And so,
yeah,
like at one point in my life, like I would just like naturally have one like every day. Like I go, I could like,
so bad.
I know, I could like go to the bathroom at work and have a quick, I would have a quickie and then I'd get back to my desk and finish my shit. Like it was like, I was like living with it. It was so unhealthy. Remember we used to talk about it all the time? Like I'd go to a business meeting and be like, I'll be right back and go to my car, have a full blown panic attack and then come back in like, all right, like what are we doing? Like,
yeah,
so it was just so unhealthy. And I used to like, it was like, I would like pride myself on it because I was all I knew. So I'm like, yeah, like that's just another day. That's how it is. And yeah, I'll get through it. So it
and it's really sad too to have to live like that, to like have to like make your peace with it.
Unhealthy
long
run, in the long run, because now like I think I haven't, what are we, like 14 days into the new year, I think I've had like maybe one panic attack and it was really small, but I think I just have a better grip on it, like seeing it ahead of time, that I can like, okay, like I saw a TikTok that said like, do you hate your body or did you just have a bad day today? So I kind of compare it with my mental health. Like, do you feel anxious or you just have a really shitty day and you need to look at that? Because I'm such a, I tend to be kind of passive aggressive where I just let things build up over time and then it's like too late. And then everything makes me mad. And, you know, I'll notice like I have the best memory in the world. So if I'm having trouble remembering something, I'm like, oh, my anxiety must be bad. So I need to read, or I need to be off my phone way more. I need to, I look at my report every Sunday on my phone at my screen time, because I'm like, if that's like out of control, that's why I don't feel good. Like little things like that that I'm paying attention to, like how much water have I had today, or how much caffeine have I had today?
Have I gone outside?
Yeah, exactly. Did I go on a walk today? When's the last time I left my house to go to the store? Like things like that, especially during the pandemic. You know
I was just about to say, like the pandemic was probably like another thing too, because I remember at the start of the pandemic, because I get so nervous about stuff, I'm so stressed about things like all the time. When I knew that the pandemic was happening, like they had entered the first lockdown, I was so anxious. And I always know when I'm really anxious too, because I have nightmares, like really vivid nightmares, like terribly vivid nightmares. And so I was having nightmares like every night. And I was like, this is awful. Like I couldn't sleep. And then when I'd wake up, I would just cry. And then it was horrible. Yeah. And then I remember like Billy, he's so sweet. Like he was just trying to help me. So he was like, why don't we do, because I remembered reading at one point that like implementing some sort of routine before you go to sleep can really help manage if you have really bad anxiety before you go to sleep.
Yes. Well, routine is key for anxiety in general.
Morning, if, morning and night.
Yeah. But if like, it gets really, really bad at nighttime, then most especially.
Yeah. So that's where it was the worst, was at night at that time. So we started doing a routine. So he would like, I would like go shower, do skincare, like take my time. Right. Then I would come back in the room and then I would like light a candle, right. Turn on my nice lights. And then we would lay down and then he's like, why don't we, because I just bought Disney Plus, remember, like had just come out. So Billy has seen like no Disney movies in the past and we've seen them all, so he was like, why don't we pick a Disney movie every night that I haven't seen and then we'll watch it before we go to sleep. It changed the game for me because I was like on a routine every single night. I knew exactly what to expect, and so it started like easing me out of that really dark hole that I had fallen into, because it just feels like you're constantly falling and you can't get a grip on anything, you can't grab anything, you can't stop, like it almost feels endless and like hopeless, which is I think what contributes to the depression part of it too, which is horrible. So you know, I started
like
doing,
it's literally never gonna get better, like
and it just feels like, you know, like in Alice in Wonderland when she's like falling, it just feels like you're falling forever and you can't stop it, like you, there's just nothing you can do, you're just floating and falling
mine
forever.
Just feels like I'm gonna be sad forever.
So you like, that's
never, there's just five sads inside my brain, that's it.
Yeah. So then I like, once I started doing that, I started doing a morning routine, like stuff that really helps too. Is like, if you make your bed, right.
Open your windows,
open your blinds. That's
the biggest.
Yeah.
Making your bed. My bed's not made right now because I'm doing laundry, but going to bed, like so my mom always says, she quotes that one, I think it was a TED talk where he's like, even if you had the worst day ever and you come home to a made bed, at least you did one thing right.
There you go.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. I started making my bed. You know what's funny? I started making my bed in college because my best friends in college, every single one of them always made their bed. And like, I never grew up like that. So I was like, I was like, word? Like,
that's we would. Like, we would try for like a week. So we shared a room on our little twin beds that we had.
We would try.
And then we'd be like, it's fine.
Yeah. And then I was like, I would see them do it. And then when I shared a room with like my best friends, I would be like, oh, I can't not make mine. That looks shitty. So then I would make mine. And then I just got into a habit of it. And then when I started doing a routine, I was like, okay, this has to be part of my routine.
Yeah.
Like, I have to make my bed. I have to light a candle. I have to open my blinds so sun comes in.
Yeah.
Open the windows.
My window. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Drink water in the morning. Yeah, like I started like doing this routine, like constantly morning, night, morning, night, morning, night. Mm-hmm. Just so I always like, even if I got nothing done that day,
I did my routine.
I did my routine. Yeah. I started journaling. I started reading a lot more because I hadn't read in forever. So like, those are all, I think, like key things that you can start now before you start making like major moves. Like if you want to go to therapy,
or quit your job, or things you could do right now that are free, do those. Yeah. Start off
with those. And they give you some sense of accomplishment,
productivity,
because when you feel like that, you feel so unproductive, like you feel so unmotivated to do anything, and then you beat yourself up about being unproductive because you're like, I didn't do anything today, I'm a big loser, like look at me, I'm the worst, like
everyone thinks it.
Yeah, you're like, everyone's seeing me be unproductive, even though you stayed in your house all day and no one saw you. That's another thing too, like I'll like sleep a lot, like I'll stay in my pajamas all day, won't change. That's another part of your routine too, like change out of your pajamas. Brush your teeth, wash your face, brush your hair, you know what I mean, like whatever that looks like. So that's another thing I would do too, is like stay in my pajamas all day, not eat, sleep all day. That's like the main signs of my anxiety, that's the recipe right there.
Making sure you're taking care of yourself in little ways, like it doesn't have to be big ways, like get up and go run a mile, or go eat a green milkshake or whatever, or green juice or whatever, like just little things, you know, that you could do that make yourself feel better. Like for me, like when we work together, I would go through ways where I would never wear makeup. And then when I would feel my anxiety getting really bad, I would build that into my morning routine where I put on my makeup because it's fun to do and I get to be by myself while I'm doing it. Do you know what I mean? Like little things like that. And then
it's like aggressive self-care, right? Like
1000%. Yeah. Like I think that's the most important part. Like I have a night routine right now where I have to journal. And then when I'm done, I can watch 2 episodes of Parks and Rec right before I go to bed. That's like my routine over and over. And I try my fun light and my
That's a great one. That's a great one too. Like comfort shows help a lot too. Like to kind of, because I always think of it too, like my brain is always like hyper aware and hyper actively aware. So like I'm just constantly thinking about things I have to do, things I haven't done, things that I could have done but didn't. Like that's just like I'm going through what ifs constantly in my head. So getting to like watch mindless shows, like comfort shows, that right before you go to sleep to help you decompress, turn it off, go to sleep, right? Or reading, right? And then go to sleep directly after, like stuff like that helps me. Another thing that helped me too during the pandemic was playing video games.
Oh, me too. I became obsessed with Animal Crossing.
I did. I played Red Dead Redemption 2. Like, oh man, that was like part of my routine too.
I
was
and it's so funny because we're complete opposites, because I play like Tomb Raiders, the only like sort of game I played that's like that, like the newer ones. And I can't play them at nighttime because it stresses me out, and then I go to bed and then I'm in a bad mood in the morning. I have to play.
Yeah, because you're thinking about the game.
Yeah, I have to play Animal Crossing or have like Mario Sunshine or something. It's something very mindless like that where I can clean and run around, you know?
Yeah, literally that's like, I would play Red Dead Redemption and then I would like, it's like gives me something to do that is not tied to my worth or my productivity.
It's just fun
for fun, right? Or it's for fun, right? Or I would do play Sims. I love The Sims.
Love a good Sim moment. Yeah.
Love a good Sim. So that's truly mindless. Like The Sims.
Yeah. That's boring to me. I remember, Animal Crossing is arguably the same thing, but I'm
okay. Yeah. Like, I remember too, like in The Sims, I never build homes. I always just evict the richest family. I like cheat to get money, evict the richest family, put my family in there. Right.
And eat the rich. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I always do. But then, like, at the start of the pandemic, when I started playing again, I built an entire home from scratch.
Oh, because how fun.
That's like how I was trying to like cope, which is good, but you have to make sure you don't lean too far into it, because then
it's different when
becoming
it's
a distraction.
And I was telling my sister, it's like I have a big gaping hole in my arm and then I just put a tiny little band-aid over it. Like, exactly. I'm like, no, I need to heal. I need to do things that are actually healing.
Well, and that's when I started telling you, because like you noticed how often I was playing The Sims, like even during lockdown, like I would come to my
she would like come over and then be playing Animal. Let's like hang out. And she's like, do what?
I would literally like, I'd come over at 9 a.m. I'd open my laptop and I'd just sit there till like 2, just building my just house playing. And stuff. And then she was Dayson like always knows when I'm starting to feel some type of way. So like she would see me mindlessly building that house for like hours, and then she'd be like, how's everything going? Are you doing all right? And I'm like, what do you mean? And that's when I told her about the nightmares and stuff. And then she helped me like try to build a routine of some kind. Yeah. She was like, I think you need to do something else, dude, before you go to sleep.
I used to always say I'm an empath, and now I don't say it anymore because of all the jokes that are about it. Yeah. But I was gonna say, I think it's not even being an empath. I think it's being like overwhelmingly self-aware. So I'm like way too aware of myself. So then it makes me super aware of everyone else and how everyone
else is. It's almost like a superpower.
Yeah, but I guess what I mean, that's that like someone tells you, oh my gosh, you're so self-aware, and then you're like, thanks, it's ruining my life. Literally, because all I can think about is how I affect other people. So I'm like, they probably all these like stories I'm making up in my head that obviously contribute to my anxiety. But I think it's so important to be aware of your coping mechanisms, if they're helping you cope or if they're just becoming
on a bullet hole.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I feel like I'm like kind of the same, but kind of the opposite. Like I'm extremely empathetic to others, but to myself, I kind of like am not.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
why would I do that?
Yeah. I'm like, nah, I don't think that's it. Like, I'm like, I can't stop playing this game for 6 hours a day. And she's like, I think you're using this to distract from something else. I was like, what do you mean?
Right.
What are you talking about, man?
So I would say definitely where I'm at right now, like, my anxiety is at like an all-time high, meaning like I have a good grip on it for now, but every day is completely different. Ways that I'm currently coping right now is I'm in therapy once a week. I look forward to seeing that lady every week. I can't wait to see her because every week I'm starting to feel a lot better. And then I like can't wait to see her to tell her like all the new things I've done. So she's proud of me, which is probably not a good part of going to therapy. You're going to therapy to get better, not to make people proud of you, but we'll take what we can get.
Whatever works though.
I'm exercising at least once a day. I just go on a walk. Like it just feels so nice to clear your head because you're like outside and know what
you get some sun.
Yeah. And I always go with my parents, so we get to talk the whole time. And so it's really nice. So journaling every single night. I journal every night. So
Well, I think for me, it's kind of a similar vibe in the sense that I am extremely aware of it now, which I think is a good thing, because I think I was running away from it for a really long time, trying to avoid having to deal with it, because I've always described it to Dayson as like, I almost feel like mine isn't serious enough to be taken seriously, if that makes sense. And because I'm such a high performing anxious person, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so like, which I was too, but it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt you when you go home. You
exactly. I mean? So like, it was kind of, I think, a really big step for me to be like vulnerable about that and to accept that I did need help in some ways. And I do need to be more open and honest about it, because that was probably what was hurting me the most, was having to deal with it by myself and feeling like I was alone in having to deal with it. Especially since like, you know, Dayson was so open and honest about it with me. And it was almost like I felt like I couldn't be open and honest with her about mine, which is like counterintuitive to why she was telling me in the first place.
Yeah.
And I honestly think a big part of it was because she knew I felt the same way. So she was trying to like, okay, I'll go first then. I have to deal with it because of this. What about you? And then I'd be like, So I really attribute like a huge part of my ability to get healthier mentally and like focus and prioritize my mental health to Dayson being so open and vulnerable with me, because if she hadn't been, I genuinely think I would still be running. Like I would still be running, and like, you can only outrun it for so long, man. You're gonna have to, you're gonna get tired eventually. So that's what I was doing forever. So I like give Dayson like the biggest piece of credit to like me being able to like confront it and then take charge of it. You know what I mean? Like not be ashamed of it, I guess is the biggest thing. Yeah.
And just, it's like so much more like not fixing it, but like helping yourself feel better, I think is like the easiest way to describe it. Like, what can you do to make, my mom always tells me, what can you do to feel better right now? I'm like, watch TV. She's all turn the TV on, you know?
Yeah. And to like, you know, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like a big part of it is also beating yourself up about
it. Yeah. Cause you're so, each and every one, everyone is so important.
Yeah.
And you deserve to feel better and to feel good. And, you know, you deserve to do things that you want to do that, you know, will make you feel good in the end, you know?
Yeah. And so that's why a huge portion of what it is I do now is like prioritizing myself and my mental health. So like, if I'm feeling some type of way, I don't force myself to create content. I don't force myself to be funny.
Take a beat. Anything.
Yeah. I just take a break. So like, I don't take many breaks, but when I do, they're absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people that follow me understand that really well, because everybody is so extremely loving.
I think like hyper aware of everything.
Yeah. And they understand. Yeah. They understand I'm not like a machine, so I can't like produce incessantly with no break ever.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say too, I think it's so funny too, because people think that they hate comments because they would naturally hurt someone's mental health. Like if someone wrote something mean about me, that would hurt my mental health. But for Drew, it's funny, or she's not even stressed about what people say about her. She's stressed about like, how can I, it's almost like trying to outperform yourself. Like how can I, she's, cause she's a perfectionist. So
exactly.
It's the Virgo in her.
And, yeah, literally. And also like I never want to hurt people that I'm trying to help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the people I don't give a shit about, I don't care if you call me a fat ugly bitch. That really doesn't matter to me. What means more to me is when people are like, hey, when you said this, it made me feel some type of way. Like next time, can you change the verbiage? I've had many conversations like that as I've grown as a creator, which I literally would feel so incredibly awful about and cry about, even though it wasn't like egregious in any way. It was just something where I could be better at, like changing my verbiage and stuff.
Cause language is like ever evolving. So it's so important to be able to use inclusive language. I can imagine how that would.
Yeah, exactly. Like the inclusive language.
Or hurt someone. Yeah.
Yeah. So just the fact that people are so open to like having the conversation with me and just letting me know like, hey, just for future reference, if you could say this instead of this next time, like that would be a lot better and more inclusive towards others and those stuff. I always am so open and receptive to that. And then on the back end, I want to die because I feel so terrible because I feel like I could have hurt somebody.
Yeah.
Which is never my intention to like hurt the people that I want to be an ally to. So
yeah, of course, but it's going to happen. And as long as you're open to, it's a bit a form of criticism.
Yeah, exactly.
That allows you to grow. And I think that growth is such an important part of building on your mental health is you're growing.
Yeah.
And you're growing and going through different versions of yourself and of your mental health. And something my mom always tells me that I always repeat to myself is that it won't always feel like this, even though it feels like it in the moment, like it won't always feel like this. So it's something to look forward to. I'm like, well, I feel like shit today, but like, you know, who knows how I'll feel
tomorrow's tomorrow. A new day.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I guess that's like the end of it, right? Just making sure you're looking for ways to take care of yourself. Don't self-diagnose yourself. If you're able to seek help and you know, see a professional, you definitely should. But I mean, the internet has so much information on it. So if you've ever thought like maybe I have anxiety, you know, and you relate to anything we said or any of the people we brought up today, just make sure you're taking care of yourself and looking for ways to healthily cope and grow, you know, through your mental health.
Yeah. And make sure, I think like the first step you can make that doesn't necessarily require like having to talk to professionals just yet is just reaching out to your loved ones, whoever that is, like friends, your family, your friends, like a spouse, you know, whoever that may be, whoever you feel most comfortable opening up to like that. Like that's probably the first step and the hardest step is to like reach out to someone and ask and tell them like, I think I need help. Like, can you help me navigate this? And obviously like you know, pick someone that, you know, you feel safe talking to and feel comfortable talking to. Cause that was me with Dayson. Like I had opened up with Dayson about that before I talked to Billy about it, just because like, I wanted to really get to the bottom of why I felt the way I did at the time. So things like that are like paramount in helping you start to cope and like confront it and then take control of it and then start to grow with it, as opposed to like in opposition of it, like running away from it. So you can grow with it because it's never something that's going to be gone immediately. Like you can take a pill and get rid of it.
I mean, we're still works in progress.
Exactly. So just know that you are loved and valid and worthy in every stage of your growth and evolution towards bettering your mental health.
1000%.
If no one else will listen, we'll listen.
So we got you.
There you go.
So thank you for tuning in for this episode of Two Idiot Girls.
Yes.
Please make sure you rate and comment send comments and stuff on our podcast on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify.
Yes.
And then follow us on Instagram. I think we're going to make a new Instagram for the account sometime this week. So make sure you look out for that. And if you guys have any topics that you want us to talk about or speak on, please send them to us.
Yes.
So we can talk about things that you want to talk about, because this was the second most asked about topic. So other than that, we'll see you next Wednesday.
Bye.